Good morning. My name is Craig. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Black Hawk Church. I'm the pastor of spiritual formation, and I oversee adult ministries. And welcome to those of you at all of our sites and venues. Welcome to those of you who are downtown at Upper House, those of you who are at Fitchburg today, also those of you here at Brader Way across the hall in Traditions, and also where I usually am as venue pastor on Sundays over in the gallery. So, hey, Galerians, and I just made that up today, actually. And then also those of you who are involved in our Black Hawk Chinese ministry. If you're watching online or if you're listening on our blog podcast, then welcome to you as well. And welcome to all of you here in the room as well. Good to have you here this morning. So as you saw in our opening video, we're in a series, and it's entitled Life by the Spirit. And we're looking at practical steps that we can take to stay in step with the Spirit. And so what we saw in our first message was a reminder that there is no neutral ground, that within each one of us is a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit, with God's desire for us to live life by His Spirit, the way He's always intended us to live it. And so we're looking at spiritual practices out of Scripture that will help us as we resist the pressures that are out there in culture and even internally for us that would keep us from walking in His Spirit and living the life that He has intended for us, life to the full. And so we've covered these topics so far. 2 weeks ago, we looked at worship. Last week was fasting. Next week, with Ben, will be community. And this week is Sabbath, or Sabbath rest. So rest. Seems to me that that's something that all of us would say, yeah, that's a good, yeah, I'd like that. But hard to come by in our busy, full lives. So I'd like for you to think about a time when you've experienced rest. I mean, I'm going to proclaim we're officially in summer. I mean, if it's almost 80 at 7 a.m., we're in summer here in Wisconsin. And it's a time where people take a break, often get some vacation time. So when was the time you did that and you really rested? Now, I'm not talking about the time when it went like this, because not all vacations or times away are like that. When we tried to head out west as a young family, and our transmission broke down in the middle of Nebraska with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-month-old in the back seat. Yeah, that's when you want a vacation from your vacation. Yeah, I'm not talking about that time. But think about a time when you really rested. What was that like? Well, I asked my wife this question, Sharon, and she immediately thought of 2 summers ago when someone had loaned us the use of their beach cottage, and it wasn't fancy or elaborate, but it was in a beautiful setting. And we really started to relax and rest. We were taking long walks and just enjoying that time together. And Sharon said, do you remember the best part? Remember when we realized something was missing? And I said, no, remind me. She said, it's when we realized our phones hadn't been ringing or buzzing. That's when we realized we had horrible self-perception where we were. What a wonderful gift that was. For me, it was realizing, it was about the 3rd morning I woke up and I realized something was missing. Actually, it wasn't working. It was my memory. I woke up and I couldn't remember what day of the week it was. You've been there, right? That's when you're like, yes, I am fully resting. And that's true, isn't it? When we get away, when we take a rest, maybe a vacation, we forget some things, right? We forget the stresses in our lives. Maybe it's stress back at work or home. And we also, though, remember things. We remember, well, like how enjoyable a long meandering walk is, or even a meal enjoyed slowly. Maybe doing something like reading a book that we don't usually get to. I think we also remember how much we like the people in our lives. You know, maybe a best friend or a family, or maybe a spouse. That's the gift of rest. And that gift that we experience is what God has always intended for us to know. 3 years ago, we did a series called Good Work. And in that series, we looked at that the reality that in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, God is a God who works. God works and He creates, and then He creates us in His image. And He proclaims that we're to work too. And that work is not a mistake or or somehow a burden for us. No, God's intention around work originally was that it too would be a blessing to us. And the same is true of rest. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 3. That right here, and I'll put it up on the screen, right here in the beginning of God's word, we find God blessing rest. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all the work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now this word rest here has the same root as the word Sabbath or Shabbat in the Hebrew. And the word literally means to cease or to stop. Because, right, God didn't need to rest after he had worked and all of his creating. Rather, God ceased. He stopped. And that ceasing and stopping for God is a way of, it's a sense of finality. It's a sense of proclaiming goodness, of completeness of all of creation. So too, God proclaims it holy in this passage. And holy, at that very root of that word, is the idea of being set apart. So it's a resting, a stopping, and a ceasing. And that, in and of itself, is set apart. And this work rhythm, this work-rest rhythm, excuse me, we're not supposed to miss the significance of it here in the very beginning of God's word, that it's God's original order of things. And it's not just the 6 days work and one day of rest, but rather there's many rhythms here in scripture right at the very beginning. There's the day and night, the work rest of that rhythm. There's also the rhythm that's the annual rhythm with its seasons of sowing and reaping. In fact, it's such an important rhythm that we find it showing up later in Scripture in the Ten Commandments. So if you'd turn with me, let's look at first Exodus 20, 18 to 11. And it begins, remember. And the Hebrew word here is zakor. And a good translation of that word is, well, actually, remember. So, remember. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy, set apart. So these words here, as we find them in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, echo the words of Genesis 2, don't they? A day set apart, a day to rest, a day to stop. But the first verb here, remember, is an important one. The idea is not merely to remember the Sabbath, but it's to remember the God of Sabbath rest, that they would remember their connection to a creator God, that they would engage as a people of gratitude, that God is a God who works, who rests, and everything we have is from him. Now, the Ten Commandments show up again in Deuteronomy. So if you're following along in your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15. And it begins this way, observe. The Hebrew word here is shamor, and actually this word has a bit more nuance than the last. Observe seems a bit passive. You know, I observe in the English. No, actually the idea is observe to keep, to protect. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. remember, Zakor, that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe Shamor, the Sabbath day. So this command to keep Sabbath is still here, but it's strengthened with this word Shamor. And again, the word remember shows up, Zakor. But it has a different emphasis here, right? The emphasis is to remember your God who brought you out of captivity, out of Egypt. A God who by his mercy heard the cries of his people and rescued them, who saved them. That they would be a people who remember God as a God of grace, a God of mercy. So as God's people practiced Sabbath rest, a tradition developed among God's people. And it was the tradition of lighting two candles at the beginning of Sabbath or Shabbat. And they lit one and they entitled it Zakor, to remember. And the second candle represented Shamor, to observe, to keep, to protect. And as God's people honored Sabbath rest in this way, that it was a time to engage in gratitude and thankfulness to their God. It was the activities of Sabbath that they would engage in to be a people who recognized who God was. And then too, it was a time for Shamor, to keep the Sabbath, keep the stop, to stop work, to not work. And in that stopping of work, to grow in trust of God, that God's got this, that if I don't work, God's still in control. So again, Zakor and Shamor became the traditions of lighting these two. And in all of that, the keeping of Sabbath, God's intention for Sabbath for his people, that rest, was never to be a burden. It was never to be this, oh, we've got to do this. No, rather, it was looked forward to because it was a time not only of rest, but even of celebration. One scholar puts it this way, and we'll put it up on the screen. The Sabbath is a time to celebrate and enjoy what has been done in the previous 6 days. It is a reminder that God does not value humans by their ability to produce. We are not machines. We have worth apart from what we produce. That from Bruce Waltke with, yeah, that'd be our Charles Hugh. It's true. So what happens when we get to the New Testament? What happens when we get to the time of Jesus? Well, honestly, things get pretty out of whack. That what we have is the Pharisees, the religious zealots of the day, making the Sabbath a legalism. And to make a spiritual practice a legalism is to basically view it as, if I do this and keep it and protect it, then somehow I'll get right with God, or I'll somehow make sure I'm right with God. And as they did that, they increased the amount of restrictions required of God's people for Sabbath rest. And Sabbath, rather than a time that was a time of celebrating, and a time of reflecting back and giving thanks, Sabbath rest became this burden upon the people. And Jesus goes right at this in his earthly ministry. Jesus wants to redeem, wants to, in a sense, save Sabbath and reinstate it in the way in which God always wanted his people to know it. We see this in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 to 28. After Jesus, on the Sabbath, he healed on the Sabbath. He broke bread on the Sabbath. He engaged life on the Sabbath and was challenged by the Pharisees for this. And he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Humankind not made for the Sabbath. Rather, Sabbath is this good gift from God for humankind. Well, what develops after the death and resurrection of Jesus among Christ followers? Well, there's a movement of Sabbath rests, the Sabbath day, from Saturday to Sunday, proclaiming it the Lord's Day. But that commitment to ceasing and remember remains. So there is the gathering of God's people. enjoying the Lord's Supper together, of worshiping and of prayer. So that there's a sense that we're celebrating God's greatest gift of reconciliation and mercy towards us on that Sunday of resurrection of Jesus. So Christ is indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. So as we go further, as Christ followers continue to protect this ceasing and remembering of Sabbath rest, certainly over time there become different convictions as to what's allowed, what's not allowed on the Lord's Day or a Sabbath day. But it's never to be a means by which we spiritually one-up each other or a source of spiritual pride. And the Apostle Paul addresses this straight on in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 16. And he says, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival or a Sabbath day." No, it's not about judgment. It's not about legalism. Actually, it's about freedom to be restored and to be the people who God has always intended us to be. So if God has this good gift of rest for us, still, based out of creation, what is it in our society, what is it in our culture that works against us enjoying that rest? Well, no doubt many different things, but I want to land on two that I think are really prevalent for us and very real pressures that we face. So we'll put them up here on the screen. The first is a belief that I am what I produce. What I do makes me significant. I mean, think about it. When we're in school as little kids, we're graded. We're in that competitive setting. And as we grow older, how do we greet one another? It's nice to meet you. What do you do, right? And whether we mean to or not, we no doubt sum each other up in that way. But I think, too, there's even more pressure. There's this pressure of, if what I do makes me significant, then maybe the more I do makes me more significant. And I think that we can hold up in our society people who are super, super busy as people who must be super, super important. And I'll just be frank with you, as I've been preparing for this message today, I've had to do some of my own work in thinking about how is it that there are times when I'm afraid to rest because I've got into such a mode of working and working hard and taking on more and more, and perhaps confusing that with my significance before God and others and importance. Well, I think too that we can have pressures within this, I am what I produce, with deep goals or desires or aspirations of what that might attain for us. It might be a position at work. It might be another kind of accolade. It might even just be the success of my children. It might be attaining early retirement. Not bad things, but they become these burdens for us as they become the sole thing that we work towards. And sometimes we don't even recognize them ourselves, and the people around us may not even know this. This was true of my grandfather. At the end of his life, he gathered his children together, my dad included, and he apologized. And it kind of took his kids back a bit because they weren't sure why he'd be apologizing. And he said, "I'm so sorry." See, he had worked hard his whole life and a lot of sacrifice through the Great Depression, World War II. He was a second generation Norwegian immigrant to this country. And at the end of his life, he didn't have a business. He didn't even have a house that he could leave to his kids. And for him, that was a sense of failure. And even though his kids didn't have that expectation, he had that real pressure, that real burden. Well, there's a second pressure that I think is very real in our society right now, and it's only increasing. And it's that we are living in a 24/7 world. If the world never stops, then neither should I. And we treat each other that way, don't we? I mean, who doesn't have one of these? And who doesn't know that my inbox just keeps filling up, right? Whether I check it or not. And so I go on vacation and I'm torn because if I don't check email, I've got a huge truckload of email waiting for me at the end of that time. But if I check it each day, I'm not unplugged. I'm just constantly on, right? We live in a 24/7 world. So much so that it's an oddity in our culture now that a store would be closed on a Sunday, right? I grew up in a time where youth sporting events didn't happen on Sunday, and now they fill up entire weekends. And what that means is we're living life without margin, right? We're living life where there's no more room in a 24/7 world to even imagine rest. And you can Google these two topics. And what you'll find, as I did, is article after article after article saying we are a stressed out, under-rested people right now. We're not getting the sleep we need. We're exhausted, and rest seems like a luxury we can't seem to make time for and to afford. Sabbath, therefore, keeping Sabbath is therefore countercultural, right? It's actually an act of resistance to keep a Sabbath rest. And as I think about it, an act of resistance is usually hard, right? Thus the word resistance. And so what does that look like for us? What does that mean? What will it cost us to keep a Sabbath rest in our life, in our week? Well, let me challenge us oppositely or conversely to say, what is it that if we don't have it, if we continue to be people whose lives are on all the time and people who carry that burden of I am what I produce or what I don't produce or what I can't produce, my significance is what I do. What's the cost of that? It seems to me costlier than not moving towards God's Sabbath rest. So how can we move towards this rest that God has for us? Well, first, I want to say, before I look at some practical steps for us, I want to look at and sort of identify what Sabbath rest is and what it isn't. And I want to take you back to that happy place that I invited you into earlier in this message. Remember? I hope you could think of a place. A place where you're really rested and you're really relaxed. And maybe it was during a vacation. Well, what I'm here to say today is vacation and Sabbath rest are not the same thing. Now, stick with me. I'm not dissing vacation. Hold on to that vacation. Use your vacation. But Sabbath rest is deeper still. It's more than just vacation. If vacation is primarily to get away, then Sabbath rest, God's intention for that is our coming back. Sabbath rest is that time when we come back to God, when we remember our Creator God, who's created rest as part of his original intention and order of things. And we come back to remember who we are as his people. Sabbath rest gets us back to that good that God has had for us. So what is a good summary statement of what Sabbath rest is for the Christ follower? Well, I like these words from the author Lynn Babb. And you'll find her book on our Next Steps blog this week. She says this: what is the Sabbath? It's a weekly day of rest and worship, a day to cease working and relax in God's care for us, a day to stop the things that occupy our work days and participate in activities that nurture peace, worship, relationships, celebration, and thankfulness. The purpose of the Sabbath is to clear away the distractions of our lives so that we can rest in God and experience God's grace in a new way. Again, not that Sabbath rest couldn't happen during a vacation time, but do you see the robustness of God's intention for Sabbath rest for us? So how do we do this? How can we practically move towards, take some practical steps towards Sabbath rest? I'd like to recommend and suggest four things for us. The first is this. Zakor. To remember. Remember by doing what helps our coming back. So we've worked hard to set up our YouVersion app during this series that we can engage and reflect and remember who we are through the spiritual practices that we're looking at, as well as our Next Steps blog, where there's a lot of different recommendations and suggestions and resources for you. So just want to point you to that because it's more than I can cover today. But one of the things we have on the blog this week, what we have is a list by Pastor Tim Keller, who's put together six ways to enjoy and to enter into a Sabbath rest. And I just want to highlight a few from there because they really resonated with me. One was to make sure that you're taking time to connect back to God, to reflect on Scripture, to be in prayer and even worship. Now, we're doing that right now, right? But if I could point out, one of us is actually working right now. Okay, just thought I'd point that out. So what, you know, if you're working on Sunday, where do you find Sabbath rest? Well, for me, I need to carve out and protect Friday or a Monday. And God's taken me on a journey with that to make sure that I don't work 7 days a week. And that's important time for me to do that. And then Pastor Tim Keller says, do things that enrich and bring you back to life. And so he says, take time for things that are aesthetic and avocational, meaning basically enjoy art, enjoy nature, be out in God's good creation, be restored by that. And hobbies that are enjoyable, that aren't work, that we can enter into. This has been important for me because I've lived my life thinking that Sabbath rest is, well, it only takes place in a church setting, and if not there, then certainly sitting at my desk and at least looking prayerful, okay? And I've realized that there's freedom in this. It's what the Apostle Paul was getting at. And so before we moved to Madison, I remember enjoying my garden and gardening on a Sunday. Now, occupational hazard, my neighbor who knew I was in ministry walked by and saw me working and said, sort of a tisk tisk, Craig, working on the Sabbath. And you know, she said it in a tongue-in-cheek sort of way. And I thought, wait, now I have guilt. Like, why do I have these feelings of like somehow I shouldn't be doing this? And I didn't tell her that, but in my head, that's what I was thinking. I sort of prayed that through with the Lord and realized, no, this is actually a good activity for me. When you work with people all week long and there's not a lot of closure, yeah, pulling some weeds and planting some things, that's good. That's restorative. So secondly, shamor, to observe, to keep, to protect. So keeping the Sabbath. Again, to keep the Sabbath, the Sabbath cease, stop, rest, is to stop. And it's to stop from work primarily. So what will we stop doing? And I say that because some of us should ask the question of, well, what is work for me? What does occupy my time? Some people are stay-at-home parents. Some people are retired. So I'd say do that good work of identifying what is work so that then you can set apart time for rest and not have it all blend together. Because for a lot of us, when we get out of work, come home or on the weekend, work creeps in, right? Part of it is this. I mean, right? My inbox doesn't shut down. There's still calls. There's still texts. There's still communication. There's people who they're not on rest, so it's work for them. And so we're working almost round the clock in that way. And I just want to let some of you know, this isn't on, so even though I'm working, we're good. So, but what does it mean as well that though we don't work, what are some other things that we probably shouldn't do that aren't work? Now, this week in our app, I appreciated that there was a reminder of the things that can be escapes for us, things that can be go-to substitutes for us. And I just want to put that out there, that we live in an age where we can just waste a lot of time. And I think social media feeds into this, and just scrolling for hours at end, or video games nonstop. And, you know, again, I don't think it matters if it's Fortnite or solitaire, right? Is it life-giving to you? Is that an activity perhaps to stop on the Sabbath? Thirdly, extend grace. Extend grace to ourselves. Start small and build from there. Is 24 hours too daunting? How about 8 hours? How about 4 hours? As I talk to parents with little kids, they're like, Craig, this is hard. How are we supposed to do this? Well, I'm the father of four, so at least I have that credibility. It's hard, yes. And mine are older now, but I think part of it is, how do we do this together? How do we create space for a spouse to get some Sabbath time? How is it that we set goals for Sabbath rest for our family? And then I would also say, especially I think of single parents, how is it that we're in this together as community? Those words in Deuteronomy and in Exodus of, this is about receiving mercy and extending mercy to others. So how is it that we're in this together? Community is at the very core of how we do life by the Spirit, which is why it's a topic next week for us. Make sure you come back for that. And then fourthly, and it seems obvious, but if we don't plan for this, it won't happen. The ancient Israelites planned far in advance for Sabbath rest so they would do no work on that day. Even in modern Israel, stores get full of people right before the beginning of Shabbat. And so what does it mean for us? Just, this is a simple thing that I do, but I make an appointment for my Sabbath rest time. Now, the appointments with the Lord of the Sabbath, I don't put that in my calendar, but you get the idea, right? It's protecting that so that when someone wants to meet or someone wants to schedule something, I already have it in my planner. And in a church like ours, I know we have a lot of people with a lot of demanding jobs. And I thought, who are some of the people who have some of the most demanding jobs? And I thought of a dairy farmer that I know. Because, I mean, who of us has a few hundred cattle that need to be milked each morning? And so I asked him, have you made time for Sabbath rest in your life? And he said, yeah, Craig, we've had to. I can't work 7 days a week. We've had to make that time and protect that time. And it's made all the difference in the world. So I'm sorry, but if a dairy farmer can make time for Sabbath rest, then I'm pretty certain I don't have any excuses. So for me, it's more about just avoiding burnout. It's more than just avoiding exhaustion. It's about coming back to our God and coming back to remembering what our lives are to be about. Last week, Chris said that fasting is like a hard reset. And as I thought about Sabbath rest, I thought, well, I think of it more as a slow, consistent rhythm of transformation in our lives. Slow, consistent growth. And I thought, what's the image for that? Well, tree's not bad. Tree bearing fruit, growing over time, in season, out of season. My dad was like that. Consistency was kind of his middle name. I remember as a kid waking up and he'd be there with the Bible open in the morning he'd protect Sabbath rest for us on the weekends as well. There's a picture of us a few years back. And so we would. We would have a day that was a day of rest, and we'd go to church, and we would not do other activities. Well, my dad passed away a year ago this past March, and I spoke at his funeral. And I reflected on his life, and it was a life well lived. I remember saying those very words at his funeral. And you know what? He left us a house. But you know what else? I didn't mention that house at all in my comments at his funeral. I didn't talk about that house as being this great thing that he had produced with his life, this great achievement, this thing that he was leaving behind. No, actually, instead, I found myself using words to talk about his character and who he was as a person. And I found myself thinking of the words straight out of Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, commitment and faithfulness and self-control and patience. See, what my dad had produced, the good fruit of my dad's life, was not what he had produced in the end, but rather what God had produced in him. That's what we celebrated that day at his funeral. The truth is, friends, God knows how busy we are. God knows how much we're carrying the burden of thinking that our significance is in what we do, don't do, can't do, and being on 24/7. And he's given us this gift of Sabbath rest to restore us, to transform us, that we might be his people in this world. Will we receive that gift and protect it and keep it? Would you pray with me? God, thank you that right there in the beginning of creation, you're a God who not only works, but you're a God who rests. And you desire that, even command it for us, because you know what's good. You know the good that you have for us. And I think of all of us and the demands on our life and the ways in which we're exhausted. But all the more than just a good vacation, I pray that we would know and enter into your Sabbath rest for us, that you would restore us, that we wouldn't forget who you are and who we are in you, that we might all the more be your people living life by the Spirit. Pray this.